Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
That's right, your owl post for the week is freshly delivered, and it's just, we're so excited to be back, because this week we're going to be back in the borough. So with me, as she is always, Drea Kaufman.
Hello! We're just tickled. Hello. We're wizardly tickled to be here today.
Yes, yes. Don't eat any of the candy if it's dropped by the twins, though. Don't do it.
I know, Well, we haven't started. We haven't gotten there yet. Don't get me started yet. I'm like ready to go.
Well, we're really excited to be here, but got a few things to do. First, we just want to remind you, find us all over the place. If you're on social media, on Twitter, follow us at Join Nerd Party. If you're on Facebook, like us at facebook.com/thenerdparty, which that's a great place to find the shows because you can converse as we post the shows. And then you can see everything else that's happening on the Nerd Party. You can also find us on the interwebs on thenerdparty.com. While you're there, you can go to the contact section and you can find the Nerd Party podcast. com/contact, choose a show, choose Outpost, and that email comes to Drea and I. And last but not least, a great place to go because we're holding the little review contest over there on the old Apple Podcasts or iTunes. We've got two new reviews, so join them, and we're going to do a review contest where the next 10 reviews that we've gotten, so we've gotten two new reviews, so that means we only need 8 more by this point of this recording. Those 10 go into a hat, we'll draw and see who wins. And just because somebody asked on the old Twitter, we are going to do a drawing with everybody who had already done reviews. So it won't be a 1 in 10 shot, but somebody who's previously given us a review will also win a copy of
Harry Potter Journey Through History.
Yes. We had a brand new review. We're so excited, from Josephine, and it's a terrific podcast for any Harry Potter fan. 5 stars, they said. And they said the host's pure love and enjoyment of the Harry Potter books is wonderful. I read the books as they were published and have reread them several times, and it has been fun to hear Drea and Matt discuss the books chapter by chapter. They show respect for each other, even when they have a different way of looking at something. I believe this is a wonderful way to introduce new readers to the series. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, and we got another new review, said lots of fun, 5 stars, from Mrs. Gumraisin, and she said, I'm so glad that I found this podcast. I'm always looking for anything Harry Potter, and other than Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, this is the only Harry Potter podcast that I've stuck with. Thank you to Andrea and Matt for helping us Harry Potter nerds continue the love. Aaron Potter, no joke.
Love it.
That is
She's
awesome.
So lucky.
That is so awesome. So,
you better name
yes,
your child
you
Harry.
Both.
Or
yeah,
James.
Definitely.
Or Lily. I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Anyway, so thank you so much for the reviews. Really means a lot to us. Again, what that means is that all we need are 8 more reviews. By the time you hear this, we could need less. And those will go in for our drawing. So, and it could be you that wins. But, as we tease the beginning, we're back in the borough, but not really, because this chapter doesn't take place in the borough at all.
No. No, it really doesn't. The title is very misleading.
It is. I was, but, so I had to say, this is definitely a chapter that I feel like is just all comedy related. Like, there's nothing really important that happens in this chapter whatsoever. It's just very funny.
I disagree. Well, go
okay,
on, go on,
okay.
Go on.
Well, I did like one of the things that we see here. We really see the characterization of Uncle Vernon and through the thoughts of Harry and how Uncle Vernon, you know, they know that they're coming, and Uncle Vernon has put on his best suit because, not to, make them feel better, but to make himself feel better. And I think it's funny that that's happened. That not only that, but my favorite part of the entire chapter has to be the fact that Dudley is running around continually holding his massive bottom, because of course the last time he ran into the wizard, he ended up with a curly pig's tail poking out of it. That visual of somebody just running around holding their bottom all day, pretty funny.
It was, and it's one of those things that you kind of forgot about because it was, you know, 3 books ago. And you're kind of like, oh yeah, that's right. He has met a wizard before. Or I don't know if we call Hagrid a wizard, but we will for the context of a wizarding person.
Well, I mean, he's in the wizarding world, and he did do some magic, even if he isn't supposed to legally around to do magic. Bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny. I think it was comical just to think about such a large kid too, because if you remember, he's described as like really roly-poly at this point, running around trying, because you have to imagine he cannot reach his butt, like he cannot cover his entire butt right now unless his arms are long, which I doubt. So it just makes me laugh of this big guy kind of touching you like the back of his hips almost, like, oh, I can't reach that. Yeah, I thought
you just made me think of I didn't even think of that he's so large he probably can't even touch the back of his bottom.
Yeah, like, he's probably only reaching over the edge of his hips, you know, there's this big gap right where the tail would be.
Oh man.
But and I think it's funny too that in the movies we never find out kind of like what happens after he gets a tail, and I think this is the second time we now are sort of revisiting the fact that like he had to have it removed by a doctor and in London, and you know, they had to explain to the doctor how this thing got there, and
yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah, it's just weird, but I thought it was really funny. And it was another callback to the first book, where he's talking about, you know, wizard folks and how they dress, and they need to dress right. Because if you remember, we started the very first book off with Uncle Vernon running into wizarding people in the street, and he thought they were dressed oddly. And so he has some idea of kind of how these wizards dress. So it's almost a callback to that again. So it's just, and back to their wanting to fit in the neighborhood and caring what the neighbors think. It's kind of just a revisit of that in a new way, right? It's four years in the future and they're still worried about this. And they're still sort of consumed by this like stature. I really liked though, I found it interesting that he says that, you know, Aunt Petunia cleaned up the living room and Dudley was on his best behavior, mostly just because he didn't want to get another tail. And Uncle Vernon has his finest suit on. And Harry's like, normally this would be to impress the other person, but in this case, he believed it to be to intimidate the Weasleys, which I thought was interesting. But at the same time, I kind of asked myself if Harry is just realizing that this may actually have been to intimidate people the entire time, because impressing, I mean, Uncle Vernon likes to impress by intimidating, right? Like, I'm going to wear my finest suit so I can intimidate you with how rich I am, and it's impressing you. I kind of wonder if he's just starting to see the Dursleys from a different perspective now. Like some of the things that we think of like, oh, that was brave of someone, is actually not brave. And, you know, the things we think of like that. I wonder if he's just starting to kind of see a little bit of a twist. And when we look back on this, the same behaviors, but from a different perspective, I'm wondering if it's just her opportunity to show us of how small the family really is. You're sort of breaking that exterior of this perfect family and showing how little they are and how afraid and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just another one of those from Harry's perspective. So I found that really interesting for my read through.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really interesting thing. And it is something that I think that she does in this chapter. Like, it's almost in some ways as Harry gets the opportunity to kind of relearn the Dursleys and see them in a different light, because, you know, he's been so isolated in his life, you know, because they barely want to pretend like he exists, but here they're forced to, and then they're, you know, having to interact with other people and interact in a way that you know, acknowledges Harry's existence, you know.
Well, it's about Harry. It's all about Harry.
Yeah. So I think that's something that's very interesting. They're never expected to be put into this. I also thought it was interesting, too, because, you know, we go back to the fireplace, and this time it's been boarded up, but it's because they have an electric fire now. So that fireplace that used to be open is now replaced with an electric fireplace, because I don't think Uncle Vernon wants any mail coming through that fireplace anymore.
And visually, I found this difficult to see, and maybe it's a U.S. thing or just an Arizona thing, because, I mean, not a lot of us. I mean, fireplaces don't come standard in Arizona. Like, you have to get a real fancy place, and it has to not be in the valley.
It's a real fancy.
Real fancy. Real fancy. To have a fireplace, let alone a real fireplace. Maybe that's why I never got my letter. Maybe not having a fireplace.
See, there you go.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it's, oh,
that's
my
it.
Goodness. Anyway.
Thank you, Arizona.
Gosh, thank you. But maybe that has to do with how, I just visually couldn't see why, like, normally I would think you would convert your fireplace from one to the other. So I don't know if, like, the electric heater is just, like, sitting next to the fireplace or why it would be boarded up instead of just left empty and not used. I don't know. I visually couldn't figure out what was going on there, but for comedic factor, it worked brilliantly.
Yeah. Well, especially since they're coming through the flu powder and Mr. Weasley, you know, they've land in there and it's not big enough. And they're like, Ron, just come back later. And Mr. Weasley, this may be the first time we get a curse word in the book. So he says, damn. And he's like, what on earth did they block the fireplace for? And Harry's like, it's an electric fire. And then Mr. Weasley's like, oh, electric?
You mean, no. Like, he says eclectic.
Eclectic, yes.
Oh, eclectic?
Yeah, it's great. Oh, man. The whole thing here, once they get to the house and, like, of course, he blows open the fireplace and, like, it knocks everybody off their feet.
And there's, like, rubble everywhere.
Yes.
So funny.
It's so awesome. But, you know, not only that, but they get into the house and Mr. Weasley's like, Harry, do you have your trunk? He's like, oh, it's upstairs. And the twins are like, oh, we'll get it. And Harry's just like,
oh, no.
Oh, no. Because he knows that they probably want to glimpse Dudley because they'd heard a lot about him from Harry. I love the way that she says that. It's great.
Well, and it's like, you know, if the twins are volunteering to do something, that it's not like really helpful. They're not doing it to be helpful.
No, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Like, there's something going on here.
It is very funny. And I love, too, that as the twins, you know, they're leaving and they drop all this candy out of their pockets and they're trying to pick it all up as fast as they can before they leave.
I wish you all could see me just shaking my head at that right now.
And of course, Dudley has not learned to not eat things from wizards, so he ends up with a massive tongue.
This is literally just a recap of the first part of the first book, just with a new temptation and Uncle Vernon, like, getting angry and yelling, and Aunt Petunia yelling, oh, my stars, in the corner, and, like, Dudley eating something he's not supposed to. I mean, you might as well throw Hagrid in there, because that's exactly what this is all over
it's
again.
It's so great. I mean, it's so great, and I think the one thing that's really interesting is watching, you know, as Harry's going to leave, says goodbye, and none of them say anything. And then Mr. Weasley's like, Harry said goodbye to you.
And see,
Harry's like, it's fine. Yeah. Just leave it. It's fine. He's like, no, Harry said goodbye to you. You're not going to see your nephew till next summer. Surely you want to say goodbye. Like, this standoff is really, like, awesome.
And see, this is why I feel like it wasn't anything necessarily that furthers the plot that happens in this chapter.
Yeah.
But I do feel like this interaction that Mr. Weasley has with the Dursleys is really significant. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably one of the first times that they are sort of confronted with like this idea that they are not appropriate in the situation, right? They always do what's appropriate and what's right and what's, you know, like they have to be, I don't know, like they have to be posh or I can't find the right word right now. Someone will tweet me the right word in the future and tell me what I did wrong. Feel free. But they have this need, right? And this is probably the first time where someone is sort of calling them out on that and is like, no, like he said goodbye. It's like when a little kid says, take something. And then the parent says like, what do you say? You say, thank you. You know, it's sort of the same thing happening. And I feel like it's small, but them being told by an outsider that they have zero respect for, that they need to watch their mind their manners is huge. And then I think that's also going to play into Mr. Weasley's interactions with Harry in the future, is the sort of taste of what it's actually been like for him to be with this family. It's small, but even seeing the fact that this family wouldn't even say goodbye, like not even like a nice little like gesture or acknowledgement of him leaving for an entire year. I feel like that will play into Mr. Weasley's understanding of Harry's situation. And I feel like that is going to be significant going forward. And Harry knowing that Mr. Weasley has that and that Mr. Weasley feels like even that's warranted. I feel like this moment is really small, but actually will be significant in the overall sort of understanding between these characters.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they really completely understood how badly Harry's treated. And this is the right-in-your-face moment that Mr. Weasley gets to experience along with Harry about how they treat Harry. And I think this is also kind of a moment, too, where Harry sees that there are people that are older than him that care about him and want to take care of him. Like this feels like one of the first moments where he really sees what a parent is supposed to do for you in action. And I really, really like that. And I think it makes for just a really strong connective moment. And it makes you joyful kind of as you're going to end up at the Burrow in the next chapter, where Harry's going to a place of safety, you know? And I think it's really neat because this story started off in a place that's very dark. And we've progressively kind of gotten lighter and come to this place where there are people here who are legitimately taking care of Harry. And that's not something he's had a whole lot of. And I think it's great. It's just a really nice scene. It's a great way to end the chapter. And of course it ends funny, as you know, they're dealing with the super large tongue and Mr. Weasley's finally just like, Harry, just go. I'll deal with this. I'll put it all right. I'll be back in a minute. And Harry, I think at this point he's like, I don't really want to miss all this fun, but you know what? It's time for me to go.
See, and I guess for me, the last, I don't know, page and a half of this chapter, Harry read it as fun. So clearly that's sort of the atmosphere she's trying to create. And I have to kind of have to bring myself into that atmosphere feeling of like him blowing up his aunt. Right. that whole chapter, that same ridiculous feeling where it's like really fixated on that tongue growing and growing and Aunt Petunia freaking out. But for me, when Uncle Vernon starts grabbing things and throwing them at people, it went from fun and funny to like this dangerous situation to this like, now Harry's not just like yelled at and disregarded. Like now you have his uncle actually throwing dangerous objects at him that shatter and fly. And, you know, it even says like the second one barely misses his head before he goes in the fireplace and things like that. And like, that to me crossed into like, now it's dangerous and not even funny anymore. And not dangerous in a Lord Voldemort's coming to kill me way, but like, you know, this is not a safe place for Harry to be, like ever at all. Which, you know, we'll look at more come the last book or the second to last book, the second to last book. We'll learn more about the Dursley's home and the safety of it. But, you know, to me, that's where I went, oh, thank God he's leaving.
Like, yeah.
Oh, thank goodness this is happening. Like, and you know, it reminds you that like Fred and George are just trying to play a prank and they have no idea the bomb that they just set off in this house. Like, no idea what they've done. And I think if I remember correctly, and if I read ahead correctly, we're going to learn a little bit more about that in the next chapter too.
Yeah.
We're getting a little more of the parenting in the next chapter too. So,
well, and I mean, I think this is an interesting thing because, this is something that Mr. Weasley does for a living, right? He works in the magical, magical recovery place or whatever. It's like people who have
Muggle studies or a thing.
Have actually on purpose, you know, magicked Muggle things to mess with Muggles. And so this is what he kind of fights against. And so I'm sure he's probably not going to be too happy with his sons.
Right.
Yeah. It's, but I do. I mean, this is a lot of this chapter is a lot of fun. But I liked that, you know, we had some interesting things to talk about in it that, got a little bit deeper. Yeah. So
it was a very short chapter that I went like super deep with, guys. I apparently can't just handle the like one-off chapters. I got to make something big out of them.
I absolutely love it. And I'm glad that we, you know, this chapter had that. It's always my favorite too, when that happens. But man, I'm so excited just to continue to dive into this one. We get some things that get really deep and interesting in this story. And like, even with them going to the Quidditch World Cup, there's a lot of stuff that happens I can't wait to talk through. So
spoilers, they go to the Quidditch World Cup.
You already knew they were doing that. Come
just
on.
Just kidding.
That's the whole reason he's going there. Anyway. But make sure to find us all over the place. As we mentioned at the beginning, don't forget to hit us up with the rating so you can get entered in our contest. And Drea, if people want to find you online and talk to more Harry Potter as we were today on Twitter, where can people find you?
You can find me at on Twitter at PCF Chick, or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's Kaufman. Yeah. And we are not a spoilers-free social media, just to be clear. So
yes, that is true.
So chat with that little warning ahead of time.
And you could find me on Twitter, at Rushing02. I am also on Instagram under the same name. I'm here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills, as each week we dive into something Star Wars. We just had the finale of Rebels, so check out, we're gonna have some great Rebels coverage and some things like that coming up, so make sure you're checking us out. You can also find me over on the Trek FM network doing The Orb with Chris Jones, talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I'm on the 602 Club, where we're talking all the geek fandoms that we love. In fact, by the time this one comes out, you might want to be looking for Drea hitting me up. I was in the 602 Club, as we are going to be talking about A Wrinkle in Time soon, so check that out. And then, of course, you can find me doing Cinema Stories with my good friend Courtney as we talk about films through the lens of faith. And thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.